You're listening to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me by phone today, Todd Raisky. He's a coordinator for ministry with the Alaska Mission for Christ. Todd, welcome to His Time.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you with us today. Let's talk about Alaska Mission for Christ. What is Alaska Mission for Christ? When and how did it all begin?
Well, what it is, it's the congregations, it's the LCMS congregations in Alaska that have joined together to be able to reach out into the remote areas of Alaska. It started with the vision of Chris Reinke. He was a pastor at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Anchorage, and in the 80s, he started to see there was a lot of need throughout Alaska, and so he worked with the congregations there to start what was then called the Alaska Mission Committee, working through volunteers coming from within Alaska and outside of Alaska, and training lay people to do ministry in many small points all around Alaska. Chris got the vision started. Since that time, we've grown to reach into over 50 communities.
Well, very good. And so reach into 50 communities. How many people, how far does that reach?
Well, to give you an idea geographically, if you can imagine, you guys are in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
So if you went north from St. Louis to about Minneapolis, that would be from our furthest south point and furthest east point. To north, and then if you want to cross to about Boise, Idaho, that would, and then drew a triangle. That's kind of the area that we work in. We'd like to be in every community in Alaska, but at the present, that's the slice that we have.
Well, that's quite a big geographical area. How many people would you say are served by this in this area?
Well, not counting the congregations that are already in Alaska and the way we work through them, but just our summer programs, we work with about 5,000 people every summer.
Wow. And so tell us about those summer programs. What are some of the things that that make up those summer programs?
Well, the first thing is we do a lot of vacation Bible school. That's the ones that we've done for a lot of years, but we've branched into some other types of programs as well. Just this last week, we did a basketball camp in the community of Kinney Lake. That's the first time we've done that. We've done sports camps out in southwest Alaska and in southeast Alaska. We're doing art camps, which is kind of a neat idea. We bring people up that teach kids and understand how art works, and that reaches out to some kids that maybe aren't interested in sports and maybe wouldn't be interested in coming to a VBS. We're also looking at doing other types of fine arts camps and healthy living camps and other types of ways that we can go into communities and meet a need that those communities have and at the same time make a bold witness for Jesus.
And how did you get involved with Alaska Mission for Christ?
Well, that's a kind of complicated story. I don't have time to get into the whole thing. I was serving in the Philippines, and I had written in my newsletter that we were looking for a place that I could continue to serve while going back to the Philippines a couple of times a year to continue the mission work that I do there. And one of the people in our newsletter list had just recently become a Lutheran and joined the LCMS. I was serving the LCMS in the Philippines, but I had known him from outside of our circles. He saw that and told somebody at his church that there was a missionary in the Philippines looking for a new place to serve, and they contacted Ken Schauer, who was a director at the time, and he contacted me, and next thing you knew, we were in Copper Center, Alaska.
Very good. And so tell us about the other staff that make up the Alaska Mission for Christ.
Well, Keith Ashenbeck is our newest staff. He just recently took a call to become our missionary to the Tanana River Valley. That's if you were to drive into Alaska, he's in the first town that you come to, Tok, Alaska, and he reaches into many of the small communities around there. He came in December last year. He and his family of four kids, and they have a wonderful start of a ministry up there. They're just getting embedded into the community so they can reach out to people. We have Ruth Zeller, who's our volunteer coordinator. She is wonderful. She works with communities and with people and connects them together so they can have an opportunity to do these kind of volunteer programs we do. And then Dave Frost is our missionary in southwest Alaska. and he serves in those communities and tries to make sure that our outreach in those communities isn't just a summertime thing, but we have a year-round connection with those communities. We are looking to call another missionary who would be a missionary and a part-time pastor. I don't know if you can be a part-time pastor, but we're gonna jointly call someone with Faith Lutheran Church in Juneau. They're a small congregation, can't afford a full-time pastor, and we would like to have a missionary that is helping to orient teams and reach out in Southeast Alaska. So if any of your listeners know of someone who the Lord might be calling into that ministry, have them get a hold of me.
How do you work with, how do you partner with local congregations?
Well, first, we work with our LCMS congregations. They are only in a few of the places that we work. We work very closely with them, including using volunteers from those local congregations. They go out and serve along with volunteers that come from outside. Sometimes they have teams of their own that go out. But when we're in a small community, very often there is a church there of some sort, and we try to coordinate with the church to allow us to be able to use their buildings or to be able to work in their community. In a community of 100 people, you don't want to come in and say, we're going to start a brand new LCMS church. Mm-hmm. Instead, we work with the Christians that are already there, and then we try to bring our Lutheran perspective into that community and try to be able to share Jesus with the people that aren't getting the chance to know him.
And tell us about the volunteers, quite often probably members of the local congregations, the LCMS congregations you work with there. Tell us about those individuals who step up to serve.
Oh, we have some wonderful local volunteers. We have some trained, licensed deacons that serve in community, especially in places where pastor's not available. One of our congregations has been vacant. It's just a real small congregation down in the Kenai Peninsula, and we've had volunteer lay ministers from Anchorage that have been driving every week 100 miles, 120 miles each way, to serve that congregation in all sorts of weather, and they do that totally on their own dime. It's just out of their pocket, and because they want to go down and make sure that the people on the Kenai have a chance to have the Lord's Word and to have a worship opportunity on Sunday mornings. We also have volunteer teams that not only come from Alaska, but also from outside. We have usually in the summer, we'll have about 500 different volunteers.
Wow.
And they will come from all over the United States to be able to serve in communities. We encourage them not just to come one time, though. We want them to come back again and again so that they can make a real deep impact in the community. They're not just spiritual tourists that come in and leave.
What do you think those teams that come during the summer? I'm gathering some maybe intergenerational groups, some might be youth groups that come. What do you think they learn during their time there?
Well, I think a couple of different things. One of the things is we've heard volunteers say, you know, we could do more of this at home. They get a vision for outreach, and they say, maybe we could reach out into our community. We could do something different at home, and I think that's one of the big things that happens for people. Two is that some of our communities are very, very different from the communities people are coming from. When you go into a bush community in southwest Alaska, it's not like living in the suburbs of Kansas City, for example. And if you, when people go there, they see a different lifestyle, see a different way of organizing life, and it starts to help people get a different perspective on how God is working in the world. And I think that's a real positive thing. Volunteers go back changed. They go back changed because they're involved in God's mission, and they're seeing God at work in ways that they maybe haven't been used to seeing when they've been in their normal bubbles at home. Mm-hmm. That's not that the ministry at home isn't good or worthwhile or valuable, but when you step out of your comfort zone, I think God works in our hearts in a different way and helps us to see the world a little bit differently.
What are some of the things, and I think you mentioned this earlier as well, what are some of the things that these volunteers, these teams do when they come for a week or two during the summer?
Well, one of the biggest things we do is vacation Bible schools. That's something that a small community, when you've got 100 people or 200 people, it's hard for a community to organize vacation Bible schools. So the teams will come in and they will put on a vacation Bible school program, hopefully working with some local folks to get them involved and helping them to get the vision for how they can teach their kids and encourage their kids with the gospel. Then we also, like I mentioned before, we do sports camps because sports are very important to a lot of folks. People love basketball all over Alaska. So we've used that as an opportunity to be able to connect with kids, to be able to let them know we care about what they care about, and then also to be able to share with them the love of Jesus. We're doing these art camps. Mm-hmm. That's just a newer program. It's been a wonderful opportunity. The community here in Kona, just north of here, I was with them a couple of years ago, the first time we decided to do an art camp, and I asked them if they'd be interested. And they said, you know, we're really glad because we really aren't much into the vacation Bible school stuff. But even the older kids are interested in coming and learning how to use their art skills. And that gives another opportunity to share the love of Jesus with those folks.
Hmm. Very good. We're talking with Todd Raiske, the coordinator for ministry with Alaska Mission for Christ. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue learning about Alaska Mission for Christ. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO, a radio station where you can find the clear biblical understanding of Christianity proclaimed daily in both word and song. Our talk programs can be heard live or on demand at your convenience anytime worldwide. The KFUO talk programs proclaim the true word of God, focused on salvation through Christ and Scripture alone. You've discovered KFUO.org, the messenger of good news.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Like the disciples bringing the gospel to the people at Pentecost, the Lutheran Heritage Foundation translates and publishes books that explain the Bible for people in languages they can read and understand. From Sudan to Thailand, Chile to Siberia, the Holy Spirit is working powerfully through His written word to bring people to faith in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To learn more about this important mission and how you can help, go to lhfmissions.org.
Do you know of someone who has wandered from the fold, who is weak in the faith, or has a doubting heart? On the next broadcast of Law and Gospel, with the help of our good friend, the Reverend Pastor Mark Smith, we will take a look at the hymn assigned for this coming Sunday, O Christ, our true and only light.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
You're listening to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me by phone today, Todd Raiske. He's the coordinator for ministry with Alaska Mission for Christ. We're talking about the work of Alaska Mission for Christ and the people they serve there. And Todd, before we went to break, you shared with us a bit about those who serve, the volunteers who serve, whether they're local volunteers or those who come up and spend a week or two or some time with you during the summer serving with Vacation Bible School, art camps, and other opportunities. Tell us about the people that Alaska Mission for Christ serves. Those many, I'm sure, are Alaska natives, as well as those who are transplants to Alaska.
That's right. Our goal is to make a bold witness for Christ in every community in Alaska, and so we serve with all sorts of different folks. In the interior of Alaska, the biggest people group are the Athabascan people. The specific group that I work with is the Atna Athabascan people. That's a Native American group closely related to the Navajo and Apache and some of the other groups in the middle of the United States. They have a very strong cultural identity, and they are still very connected to who they are as a people. Although their language is almost gone, anybody under 80 doesn't really speak it fluently. There's some efforts to try to revive it, but most people don't speak it very well. They have a great sense of community. They really work together well, although the culture has really been under a lot of stress in the last 100 years or so. And they're trying to figure out what it means to be Native Americans in at this time in history, and how do they do that? And our goal is to invite them in, to bring their culture into our churches, and to be able to be Native Americans that bring their unique gifts to the body of Christ. In Southwest Alaska, Yupik people are an Eskimo people. Sometimes people call them Eskimos, and those folks also have their own unique culture. I don't know them as well. David Gross would even tell you a lot more about the Yupik people. They have a strong cultural identity, and they still speak their language quite a bit, especially in isolated villages, the kind of villages that we have to fly into to reach for Vacation Bible School or other outreach programs. Down in Southeast Alaska, there's a couple of more. There's Haida, and there's I guess my mind isn't working real well. There's a couple of Native American groups as well that are along the coast there. And if you go up north in Alaska, you have the Inuit and more traditional type of Eskimos that you might hear about. We don't do as much work with them just at this particular time. If the Lord opens up the doors, we'll be up there as well. Then we have our normal transplants. People come to Alaska very often because they're trying to get away from people. People know that people cause problems, and so we have a lot of folks that come up here to try to get away from other folks. And they're a challenge to reach out to because they don't particularly want to spend time with other folks. And we have another group of people that come up here to work, people that moved up here for the pipeline, and you call them weekend warriors. They love to do the snow machining, the trapping, the hunting, and the fishing, and all those kinds of things. And so there's a whole group of those folks that live in Alaska as well. And our goal, the Alaska Mission for Christ, is to find ways to reach into each group here and to allow them to know how much Jesus loves them and wants them to be a part of his kingdom.
You mentioned earlier that some of the villages are isolated and you can only reach them by plane. Tell us about that, about traveling to some of those villages. How do you make connection with them initially to even be welcomed in the community?
Well, that's been a long-term process, trying to make connections with villages. When we first started working in Southwest Alaska, Chris Reinke had a vision of a houseboat that would live on the Kuskokwim River and travel from village to village. That was a wonderful vision that didn't work out in real life. The boat took a lot of maintenance. It wasn't really the right boat for moving up and down the river that has sandbars that change again and again. And so Corby and Nancy Cross were out there for several years trying to make the boat work, but the boat ended up not being successful. But what the boat did do, because Corby and Nancy ended up stopping and staying in many villages, is allowed Corby, who's also part Native, to make connections with people in those villages. And from those connections, as we've gotten to know people in one village, people in another village will visit them and will say, one community will say, oh, we'd love to have a Vacation Bible School in our community as well. So it's been word of mouth. After you get established in one community, then people will invite you into another community. In the same way, in Southeast Alaska, we had a man named Rick Hansen, who's been a volunteer. He's come up for 7 or 8 different years. And he and his family would travel from community to community with a boat, and they would stop and say, hey, are there any needs? Are there kids here? Would you like a Bible school program? And then Rick and his wife and family would put on a Bible school program on their little boat, the first year, and then they would call us and say, hey, would you guys set up a long-term team to be able to come here? And so we've been able to establish several communities in Southeast Alaska. On the road system, we have connections from people in our churches. Ken Schauer, who was my predecessor, he would actually before Corby, so he was a little ways back. But he had a road ministry and would travel in an RV to each community and get to meet people and introduce himself and ask them if they would need a worship service. And he was responsible for helping get started several of the churches that we have going in places like Copper Center, where I'm established right now. So it's just all through relationships. You know, as people come into a community, get to know people, then those communities say, hey, these people are all right, and they invite us in to be able to share with them.
Tell us about when groups come up for during the summer. Tell us about the climate. Those of us who are coming from the United States and various regions and climates in the United States, what is it like during the summer there?
Well, it tends to be pretty warm this time of year with a billion mosquitoes. but normally during the summer, we have highs in the 60s and lows in the 40s or 50s. This summer's been real warm in the interior. We've been having highs up into the 80s this year.
And it's, wow.
It's been hot for us. It started in May, and very unusual. A couple of summers ago, we had one day that reached the 80s. The rest of the summer was pretty much 50s and 60s. So it's a little bit hard to predict. In Southwest Alaska, it tends to be a little bit cooler. They don't get the warm weathers that we do, and they don't get the extreme cold we get in the winter either.
And what about making the adjustment to the daylight hours?
Well, that takes a little bit. When I first came up to Alaska, I'd forget to go to bed. You know, you'd come in and be working with people all day and come home and start working around the house. And next thing I know, my wife would be calling out saying, are you going to go to bed? And I'd look at my clock and find out it was 1 o'clock in the morning. So it's taken a couple of years for us to do that. Now, some Alaskans get used to it enough they don't need to black out their windows. We have blackout curtains in our house so that we can sleep. A lot of volunteers find it a little bit challenging. They come up and are used to having it be light in the middle of the night. So,
and it's light like the middle of the afternoon. It seems like the middle of the afternoon, I gather.
Yeah, you know, and it does get at this part of Alaska. We're a little bit further south,
mm-hmm.
and so at 1 or 2 in the morning, it looks almost like it's starting to, like it might look in St. Louis at 7 or 8. You know, it's just starting to, mm-hmm. to look a little bit dawnish or duskish. But for the most part, you could be outside and read all night. So.
Wow. That I'm sure that was a big adjustment. I'm sure for you and for those who come up and visit during the summer, trying to make that change and make it through a week or two and still get the rest to be useful.
Yeah, that's the thing, because it's tempting. You know, it's not that you can't sleep with the light, although some people are affected by that a lot. But it's tempting just to stay up. You feel like you should be able to keep doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have the discipline to say, okay, it's time to go to bed, whether it looks like it or not.
Well, what are the opportunities for groups to serve throughout the summer? Are there opportunities this summer or making plans for next year?
We're making plans for next year. This summer we have all of our teams filled. We are always looking for people that are willing to come up and make a long-term commitment. We prefer, there are some opportunities for one-time volunteers, hammer and nails type of projects that we do, or sometimes there are some churches in more populated areas where it's not as imperative that we have people coming back year after year. But we really encourage churches to make at least a 3-year commitment to say, we're going to come and come back again and again. Because when people come in 1 year, people say, oh, that was fun, they came in, but they're seen more as tourists. They're not really a part of our communities here. But people come back year after year. Like, for example, the group that goes to Tetlin, they've been coming for about 20 years. They start to really get to know people and really form relationships. And as they form those relationships, that's when you can really share the love of Jesus and can share your faith with people. It's hard to accept something as profound and deep as your faith in Jesus with somebody that you're just meeting. As you get to know them more, people get to understand what that truly means to be walking with Jesus, to share the forgiveness that he's given with you. And it just has a lot deeper impact when people are coming year after year. We believe at Alaska Mission for Christ that God works through relationships. And that is the place where we're able to share his word with the people of Alaska.
With just a few seconds left, how can we find out more about Alaska Mission for Christ?
You can come to our website. That's alaskamissionforchrist.org. You can find us on Facebook. Put in your search there. Go to Facebook and put in your search thing, Alaska Mission for Christ. That tells you a little bit of information about what's going on. And you're welcome to contact me, Todd Raisky, at alaskamissionforchrist.org anytime.
Very good. Thank you so much for being our guest today, Todd Raisky, Coordinator for Ministry, Alaska Mission for Christ. Thanks for being our guest on His Time.
Thank you very much.